Welcome to Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. I'm Connie Thiessen. It was another rough week for Canadian media as Corus was the latest to make layoffs amid a soft pandemic advertising climate. We'll have more on that on the podcast next week, but today we turn to another hot-button topic, the issue of diverse representation within Canadian broadcasting. Laith Maroof has been fighting for more diversity in Canadian media for more than a decade. His background in community radio and television led him to help found the Community Media Advocacy Center, which believes that any real change has to start with the CRTC and more transparency at the public broadcaster. To that end, the organization has filed a procedural request with the commission to compel the CBC to release detailed employment equity data as part of its upcoming license renewal process. I spoke to Maroof, who lives in Montreal, from Beirut, where members of the organization have been consulting and currently find themselves waiting out the current pandemic wave.
Sorry, there's the mosque beside me here doing their call to prayer. So maybe I'll hold on. We are in Beirut. We've been stuck here now because of Corona travel restrictions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had contracts here to do this similar work in Lebanon. I'm half Palestinian, half Syrian. I'm an Arab, and this is my region. We do CMAQ does work not only in Canada, it does work around the world. We've done work in Brazil, in Mexico, in South Africa, and the Middle East.
Okay, so you're stuck there because of COVID?
Yes. They just opened the airport this week, but then we were looking at the numbers in Montreal, and I was like, I don't know if we want to go back right now. So my main drive was always about representation. This is, I didn't study media. I studied political science. And that drove me to the understanding of the importance of media and representation and how that changes society's views of communities and their ability to access their equal rights. And through this journey of going from print to radio to television and eventually to administration of media, it was clear that beyond just creating the media itself, there is another battle for employment and access and reflection in the media sphere in Canada specifically. And the higher you got up in the media echelons, the less representation there was and the more difficult it was to initiate any change. And so at one point, I was elected as the equity officer at the National Community Radio Association. This position, I thought, would allow me to institute some changes or help to bring in some concrete developments in the community radio sector. But what it actually led to is more confrontation and more isolation and targeting. So that experience of seeing how community radio, on the one hand, creates a lot of programming that is led by communities that are visible minorities or indigenous or women or LGBTQ people, and that didn't translate to jobs within that sector and or positions on boards of directors in these radio stations. And after working around 10 years within the National Community Campus Radio Association, the NCRA, and not being able to implement any actual change, we decided that we need to create an organization that specifically is dealing with the priorities of in, you know, visible minorities, indigenous people, people with disabilities within the media sector. So a lot of the media producers and you know, managers and so on within the sector that were coming from those communities that were not able to have their voice or their priorities dealt with, decided to create the Community Media Advocacy Center and to put all our efforts into that without having to negotiate our right to existence within spaces like the NCRA and others.
Leif, why do you think that no actionable change came from your efforts at the NCRA?
When we're talking about actionable change, that means employment, that means positions of power, and that doesn't come without a battle. A lot of times it is very taxing on people's health to have to be in constant confrontation. I can give you an example. You know, the most progressive community radio station in the country, CKUT radio in Montreal, which is one of the few stations that actually produce any news, original news content in the community radio sector. The majority of the producers and the majority of the shows are from non-white communities. But over a quarter of a decade, 25 years of monitoring their employment and or their board of directors, you could see that that didn't translate to each other. And whenever these producers attempted to access employment or representation on these boards, you know, they ended up having big fights with the employees and or the boards of directors. And so if you take this example of this radical or progressive station, and then you translate it to isolated stations in communities that are small or homogeneous and that are rural, then you could see how that becomes even more difficult. So, you know, there is also the issues of how the policies at the CRTC are written. Unfortunately, currently, there is an apartheid on the airwaves in Canada. There is a clear segregation between Indigenous broadcasters, ethnic broadcasters, French broadcasters, and English broadcasters. Whenever a person coming from a visible minority community wants to address their, you know, exclusion from the mainstream media, they're told that they should go to the ethnic broadcasting sector. And if an Indigenous person is also asking for the same thing, they're told to go to the Indigenous broadcasting section, which makes it a clear apartheid on the airwaves. And the fact that the CRTC itself is not a representative body, it's also very homogeneous. It sets the priorities of what the CRTC is going to work on and how it's going to address these issues. And we've tried over the last 5-6 years to promote the idea of appointing more visible minorities, more Indigenous people, more people with disabilities, and or people coming from the community nonprofit sector to be appointed as commissioners at the CRTC so they can prioritize these issues. And that hasn't translated to a reality. Last year, the CRTC appointed its first ever Indigenous woman, and that she's one of only 4 people in the 60-somewhat years history of, to be appointed that is not white.
A large part of the issue seems to be that with particularly private commercial broadcasters, we don't know how diverse our media organizations are because companies don't want to release breakdowns. And I do find some irony in that because it's an industry where the journalists within that company would demand answers from others in situations like this. Do you want to talk about that lack of reporting when it comes to the public broadcaster and the procedural requests that you've put before the CRTC? Why do you think the public broadcaster isn't compelled to release those?
Because the numbers are damning. You know, the already the very few numbers that the CBC presented on their record that are very general clearly show that the CBC is not reaching its diversity obligations, and it's not delivering on its obligations under the Broadcasting Act and the Canadian Charter and the obligations of international law that it has to abide by. So, you know, there's all this general, you know, hippie, happy attune to the CBC's documents that it put on record, which talk about supposed work that they're trying to do to achieve these equity goals. But in reality, when you look at the numbers that we obtained through leaks, basically, it shows that there's very little progress in changes to, you know, giving access to employment for visible minorities, indigenous people, people with living with disabilities. If you compare the changes that happened in employment at the CBC over the last decade, you realize it's going to take them, you know, half a century at the pace that they're working on to actually accurately reflect the ethnic and indigenous numbers within the population of Canada. So there's very, very little change that is happening.
What do your numbers tell you about what that pace is? And now the public broadcaster, you know, within the last month has committed to, I think, a one-to-one hiring ratio when it comes to diverse hiring. Are you encouraged by that or are you skeptical?
The external hire rate right now, according to the documents that we received for visible minorities from last year, it claims to be 28% for the year 2019-2020. And for Indigenous people, 1.7%. And for persons with disability is 3%. But when you look at the turnover rate for these communities, it is much higher than that for either able-bodied white males and or able-bodied white women. So overall, there hasn't been much of any change in the total numbers of visible minorities, indigenous people, people with disabilities as employees at the corporation. It's very minute change because of the attrition rate of people that get fired and or get fed up of having to deal with systemic racism within the corporation. So it takes either a person that is non-confrontational, that is willing to accept any direction that comes from, let's say, their white editor or their white manager, and keeping their mouth shut, for them to be able to sustain a working condition at the CBC. And that's also could be extrapolated for the rest of the media spectrum in Canada. And or it requires, you know, people just packing up and leaving and trying to find some other place where they don't feel that they have to be combative at every turn within their, daily work routine.
Do you feel that discussion around this issue has evolved? Is any of it helpful? And are you encouraged by anything you've heard, you know, since discussion has been renewed in this area?
Well, I'm very happy that a lot of people from visible minority communities and Indigenous nations that work at the CBC had the opportunity to air out the issues of systemic racism and discrimination at the corporation. Unfortunately, it comes as a result of murder of unarmed civilians in the United States and in Canada, abusive relationships between the police forces and these communities. On the one hand, I'm very happy that all these workers that had probably to survive a decade or so of abuse within the CBC to finally be able to say their story and tell it to the world. I'm just also very wary that once the attention on Black Lives Matter starts to fade away, that also will fade away as an attention. And, you know, ultimately, the change has to be structural. It cannot be cosmetic. And that requires policy. And then we are stuck in this situation where the CRTC itself has problems with structural and systemic racism. And how can that body that has these problems try to solve the same problems?
So what do you see as a path forward, Leif?
The path forward is for the CRTC to take its responsibility and its duties correctly and stop being captured by the media interests, the industry and interests. We know the law is very clear. Media outlets are supposed to give reflection, access, and employment to Canadians of all backgrounds, including giving a special place to Indigenous nations. We know that none of the major media outlets, including the CBC, are delivering on those obligations. The question is, why is the CRTC, which is a tribunal with the powers of a superior court, not actually enforcing the law? In our experience over the past 5 years, the CRTC keeps on kicking the puck down the road and saying, let's, you know, give another chance. Instead of obliging these media outlets to deliver on their obligations, they're actually giving them, suggestions of delivering on these obligations. There's a few things that we didn't touch on within our procedural letter, their request. And one of them is that the CBC did not provide any information on the reflection aspect. So until now, we've been pulling teeth to try to get information on the employment obligation. What about the reflection? How much programming is the CBC producing beyond the news that is reflective of Indigenous and visible minority communities or persons with disabilities? And then study what are they centered around? What's the story about? Who's hired as actors, who's the directors? And also look at their budgets. If there is some shows that are supposed to reflect Indigenous people and or visible minorities, are they actually being supplied with the same budgets that the more mainstream shows are? And so, you know, the obligation under the law is for giving access, for giving reflection, and giving employment. And up till now, we have only touched the issue of employment. And we will need to hold the CBC accountable to the issue of reflection also.
And I have had journalists within some of the big media organizations say to me, it's not just about overall representation. You know, it's about the specific whiteness of certain high-profile shows, you know, whether it's Power in Politics or the national or, you know, global national that could use a diverse perspective.
Yes. And, you know, if you looked at the numbers that we attached with our procedural request, you would see that, you know, the representation in management, it's much worse than the representation overall. And unfortunately, the numbers that we received mixed together four different layers of management. So we are presuming that the higher you get in the management strata, the more homogeneously white it is. Because, you know, this is the overall trend. It's a little bit harder to pinpoint the same thing with the corporate sector because, you know, it's it's privately owned, you know, and people can choose whoever they want to put on their boards of directors with their own money. But this is the national broadcaster that is supposed to reflect the people of Canada with their amazing diversity, and that is not happening, and it's a scandal.
Our thanks to Laith Maroof and Gretchen King from the Community Media Advocacy Center. For more on their work, visit cmacenter.ca. For Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast, I'm Connie Thiessen.
Thanks for listening to Broadcast Dialogue. For more information about the podcast or to receive exclusive access to our weekly briefing about the Canadian media industry, visit us at broadcastdialogue.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and follow us on Twitter and SoundCloud.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.